Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is 10 o'clock, and this is Matt Chat Live. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. And once again, I am joined by my very special co-host, who has a new moniker. She is now and forever will be NWF Hall of Famer, Miss Callie.
Thank you very much, Ace, for that very flattering introduction. And thank you to the NWF Army, the NWF Front Office, on all the ladies and gentlemen that are a member of that organization, as well as our huge and wonderful fan base. That truly this past Saturday was an honor. But this show is not about me. This is about the brand new and now two-time NWF heavyweight champion. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the era of the Titan. And let me tell you, I couldn't be happier.
You know, I know a lot of people share your sentiment, and as soon as he is on the air, we will go immediately to the Titan.
Let me tell you, I firsthand got to watch that match, and it was there was a few scary moments there. But I think the front office made the right decision in having Angel as the special enforcer. He kept Nasty Russ's little henchman from becoming too involved. And it really just, wow.
You know, I've heard that it was an epic match. And, you know, I hate that I didn't get to see it in person. I had some family commitments, but I'm sure I will get to see video of it very soon.
Let me tell you, that match explains exactly why the Northern Wrestling Federation is the premier, in my humble opinion, it is the premier independent organization, not just in the tri-state, but I believe anywhere.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, the man himself, the brand new NWF champion, the Titan.
What's up? How's it going?
Welcome to the show, Titan. Congratulations on that victory Saturday night.
Thank you very much.
That was hard-earned, and my friend, you deserved that.
Yeah, it's definitely been another long road chasing the title again.
I will say this, personally, being able to sit back and actually watch that match happen. I stated previously, the front office made a very wise decision in naming Angel as a special enforcer. He kept a lot of the shenanigans from the henchmen from becoming involved, which, as you well know, they played a big role in Russ ever being able to take that title from you.
Oh, absolutely.
What for you was, when did you know during that match, when could you feel it that the momentum was in your favor, that this was going to be real, you were going to be the champion again?
Honestly, I'd like to give you a humble answer and say, you know, at the end when I had Russ up on my shoulders, but the honest answer was before I walked through that curtain, I knew. that there was nothing that was going to get in my way. Nothing was going to stop me that night from becoming the NWF champion again and proving to everyone that I deserve to be on top.
I cannot disagree with you deserving to be on top because I've seen the work you put in. I see the work you continue to put in. You, the last time you were the champion, you were one of the, if not the most fighting champions we've had. And to me, that stood out a lot. And as champion, you've set the tone for everybody. And I think you did a marvelous job of it. And I believe you will again.
Oh, I plan on now. I plan on going to bigger and better things just from here.
I am so looking forward to that. What can we expect, or I should say, what's on the horizon for you? Because I know we return to Bone Crushers this week, but then we also have our big return to Northern Kentucky at HITS on December 9th.
Well, I mean, just like before, you know, I plan on being a fighting champion. Unfortunately, I won't be at Bone Crushers this week, but that's probably the last time you'll not see me at a show because I plan on being there every week after that. I plan on being in Covington. I plan on being Fairfield. We'll be in Wilmington at the start of 2018. You know, we'll be at Bone Crushers a bunch of times between there, and I will be there every week. And if anyone wants to line up, everyone wants to step up, that's fine. I don't care. Every week I would defend that title if I have to because that's what it's supposed to be about. I plan on being the fighting champion again like I was before.
I think it's a very admirable quality in you because I won't say we've had a lot of champions that have ducked challengers, but what I've noticed is you basically invite challengers. Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care how big, bad. I don't care if you're like really new or if you've been here 20 years. You don't care who they are. You just take on whoever, and I think that's what makes you stand out as a champion because you take on anybody and everybody. And to me, that's a quality you don't see from a lot of champions that we've had, well, or that are really around, period. I mean,
what it means to be, you know, a titan, what it means to be the best. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to prove it week in and week out. I mean, especially with, like, Bone Crushers in the school, you know, we always have people learning and getting better. And we've, within the last couple of years, we've seen this, you know, this influx of newer guys and that new generation kind of stepping up, you know, with, like, your Jordan Clearwater, David Tyler, Adam Swayze, Alexis Montez, Calypso. We have all these new guys coming, and they all offer different things. You know, you got the guys who've been doing it for a while, you know, Jay Donaldson, Ryan Stone, Christopher Michael Lotus, but they're always on top of their game. But then you have this whole new flavor coming in, and that's what I like. And I like just fighting the best. I like being in there with the best and just showing what I can do. And especially having, like I said, all kind of different flavors, new young kids coming in that are just as hungry. It's like it's even better when you're champion because they always say when you're champion there's a target on your back. And everyone always says that's the downfall of being a champion is everyone's looking at you, everyone's coming for you. That's the point of being the champion to me. I want the target. I want everyone coming at me at the same time if they want to. That's fine too. Like, bring them all on. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here to do. Every week I show up because I want to wrestle. I want to fight. And I tell everyone, it's a call right now, call to arms. If you're out there, come and get some.
I cannot wait to see some of these challengers that will very likely step up and actually take that challenge because, like, you made a very good point. We do have a lot of new, young talent. We've got new people coming in the door all the time. And they want to make a mark. They want to make a name. Best way to do it is put in the work. But to quote a very great individual, to be the best, you have to beat the best. And as it stands right now, you are the standard bearer in that company, which would make you at this point the best. So you've got guys like Lexus Montez, who obviously is involved in a very controversial and somewhat nasty feud with Kalisto, who has a huge chip on his shoulder. And I see him being an individual who would be brash enough to come at you at some point. I just don't know that he... I think he would provide a challenge, and I think it would be a very interesting matchup, because your styles are different, but at the same time, you both do bring it.
I like fighting him. I mean, before I lost the title, you know, back in earlier this year when I was still champion the first time, I mean, him, we did have a match. We had a match at Bone Crushers, and it was good. I mean, you know, he's young, and he's got this big head on his shoulders and, you know, thinks he's ready to take on the world. But he found out, just like a lot of people find out, that it's not that easy.
And I, for all things said, you are what I would consider, it's very obvious you're a very strong individual, but you're also somebody that I would consider almost deceptively quick. Because I think people expect you to be, you have a very strong wrestling style, so I think they expect slower movements because you can work so methodically. But then you can turn on somebody like in the blink of an eye, and it's very quick, very crisp, very, well, for lack of better phrasing, it's very along the same styles as Kalisto and Lexus Montez.
I was small. Like Kalisto, I was like Lexus. I mean, you know, for a long time in the early parts of my career, I was 150, 160, 175 pounds, you know, running up the ropes and doing corkscrews. I was doing all that. I mean, with age, obviously, a lot of factors come in. You know, your metabolism slows down, you get a little older and stuff like that. So I have put on weight. And I mean, 90% of that has been on purpose. You know, I've been working hard at the gym, eating more, trying to become more of a tank. And, the thing is, I still have all that. I mean, I may not do as many flips as I used to, but I can sure, you know, turn it up to 1,000 and pop up out of nowhere. I can get that fighting spirit. I can, you know, find that energy deep down and get up. And I may be down and bleeding and sweating and panting and out of breath and blown up 1 minute, but if I see that little bit of an opening, you know, I know where that thing deep down inside is. And I can trigger that, and it's like if I'm just starting a match all over again. It's like I feel no pain. It's like I don't feel blown up anymore. Once I feel like it's time to shift it into that eighth gear, it doesn't matter who I'm in the ring with. They're probably in trouble.
I can attest to that. I have seen that happen to a multitude of competitors that probably, quite frankly, didn't expect it, and they should have. Because you're not somebody that goes out and shows everything that you can do at all times. You pick and choose your spots, which makes you very smart. It also makes you a dangerous competitor, which is a good thing as a champion. People don't always expect to see... I know you don't do shortcuts, and that's, to me, that's admirable, but I think a lot of people just don't necessarily always put together that, hey, you know, the champion's going to go out and they're going to show everything all the time. You're actually very smart about it. You keep things... You only do what you need to do to win that match. Like, you don't... You give 120%, 150% every time, but you don't show every trick you have.
Absolutely, because, I mean, that's a big thing, is always be learning new tricks. You know, every week, I'm always, like, studying, and I'm always watching and learning and changing and evolving, because it's an ever-changing game. You know, I learned during wrestling training that if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. You're never standing still. So it's like I always like to be moving forward and finding something new to add to the repertoire. You know, if something doesn't work too many times, it's gone. People are expecting me to always throw that left, and I'm going to come with the right.
And that's where that dangerous comes in, because you're one of the people that goes out and please do correct me if I'm wrong, but you're thinking 2 and 3 moves, sometimes 4 moves ahead to what you need to do. How can I come at him? How can I counter this? And that's smart. And I think a lot of the younger guys that actually take the time to come to training, that actually listen to what individuals such as yourself or Roger Ruffin, I'm going to give this man credit, God help me, Jay Donaldson. You know, you guys will I've heard you guys tell these young guys, think when you're in there, you have to think 3 moves ahead, 4 moves ahead, because study your opponent, make sure you know what you're going in against. And that, to me, sets apart a lot of the NWF talent, too. Because we try to instill in them not just how to do moves, but how to actually think. How to do things that are going to benefit them, like their entire careers.
Mm-hmm.
I heard multiple people this Saturday in Fairfield, even with like the Hall of Fame inductions, saying, you know, professionalism. And I know you've been to a multitude of different companies and worked before. You can always tell, at least in my opinion, and maybe it's just the places I work, but you can always tell the difference between somebody that came in from the NWF and somebody that came in from somewhere else. Just, I guess mannerisms is the word I want for that. There's just a certain way taught to interact.
And yeah, I think a lot of that comes from NWF being around for so long, and you know, Roger Ruffin has always instilled that into all of us. And I mean, you know, I've been to a lot of different places, and I've seen different people from, you know, all over the world come in through locker rooms I've been in, and that mentality that Roger always has and instills in us of respect for us. It doesn't matter how much baggage that person is carrying towards you or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter if you met the person the first time, never going to see him again. It doesn't matter. There's a way you carry yourself, and professionalism is always a big part of it. And we always definitely try to make sure that, you know, all of our students, all of our wrestlers, we all know that.
I think that's huge. And as somebody now that is a champion, I know the spotlight, per se, is on you at all times, because now not only are you representing yourself, you represent the company, and this new generation that we've got coming in is looking at you. The next generation that maybe isn't old enough to start training but still watches, still wants to learn everything. All their eyes are on you because you are our standard bearer. You are the person that represents the company, represents really everything about us. And I can say I'm honored that you are that person at this time, because you're upfront, you're honest, you have a good competitive spirit when you go out there. I mean, I know some matches are personal. Don't get me wrong, I know that, but you always go out it doesn't matter who you're in there with. You always have that really solid competitive, you want to win, but you're not going to be underhanded about it, so to speak. You follow the rules. I mean, you set that example. people say...
Well, I mean, that's a big thing that, you know, has kind of set me apart, I think. You know, it was almost a code, if you will. You know, a lot of it, like I said, was instilled with training and all that. But it also comes with just, you know, growing up, you know, in wrestling. You know, I've been in wrestling since I was 17 and watched it and was surrounded by it growing up. So I've always had, you know, kind of feeling. And, you know, yeah, you know, I was, you know, a bad guy. I was a heel at points where, you know, I was doing not so great things. But there was always that thing in the back of my head, that code that keeps you going. And, you know, when I became like the living, breathing Titan, when that became more of who I was, when that started coming to the surface, you know, the whole fighting spirit thing is just, it's just a reality. It becomes more and more of a reality. And people kind of expect this of you. People expect, you know, a lot of people, they hear the word Titan, and people automatically assume, you know, 300 and Spartan this and all that. And that's not exactly what it is, but, you know, some of it is from, you know, that mentality. You know, when they're in the Coliseum, it's them. You know, that it was do what you can, you know, fight to survive. And no matter who I'm in there with, you know, I've been in there with best friends. I mean, Nasty Russ, it got personal with us, but we still had, you know, we were best friends for 10 years more, you know, up until a couple months ago when things started changing. But even then, it was like as much red as I saw, and as much, you know, as I might want to be over-emotional because of the things he did, or even because, you know, of the things we did together. Like, it still was, you know, win. It was just forward, always forward. You know, and that goes no matter what, at least with me, because, I mean, you know, a couple weeks ago at Bone Crushers, I end up in a tag team match against Calypso, and Calypso is one of my best friends. Now, you know, I've helped him train, and we hang out, and we travel the road, and me and him are really, really cool. But, you know, he was unfortunate enough to be on the opposite side of the ring, so it wasn't, oh, cool, let's have fun, buddy, good luck. It was, I'm sorry, but I'm about to beat your ass, and we'll laugh about it later.
Right. That in all honesty, has probably been one of my favorite matches to watch, because you two know each other so well. And even though you both had some schmucks for tag partners that night, I think watching you and Calypso showed what competition really looks like. Two men, both with a passion for what they do, and both going about it the right way. I mean, obviously there was no ill will between the two of you, which was good. But I think that brought out the best in both of you for that match too.
Absolutely.
And you see young guys like Calypso, and I think you've been very instrumental in helping to develop some of the younger talent, like the Calypsos, Jordan Clearwaters, David Tylers, Lexus Montez, for whatever reason, has got that big head. Same thing with Adam Swayze. They've kind of seen more of the Jay Donaldson way of things, I guess, would be a way to phrase it. But I see that as these guys are young, they're learning, and hopefully the more they learn, they'll realize that things are going to turn around. They are going to get better, and these young guys that are coming in are just going to one day just take the reins and hopefully light it up, because right now they are so exciting to watch.
That's what we hope for, you know. I mean, especially with, you know, myself and Roger Ruffin and, you know, even Jay, you know, we're kind of, you know, the caretakers, if you will, because, you know, we are leading them in training. And so, I mean, even on Saturday, you know, regardless of how it turned out, you know, Jay's hurt, and we heard that, and, you know, he has attached his chariot to Lexus, apparently. And, I mean, that's because, like, our bodies have a counter. At some point, you hit that number where you can't take the bumps, where you can only get suplexed so many times before your hips give out, before your back gives out, before your neck gives out, knees, everything. I've been pretty fortunate in my career to never have had anything too serious. But eventually it's going to catch up. So it's like right now we're at a very pivotal point of being able to sculpt and motivate these guys so that in a few years when we can't do it anymore, you know, in Jay's case where it catches up to you and you have to rely on them to be the future. I mean, there was a point, you know, where I was in their position. You know, guys like, you know, Jay was just hitting his big stride, Ryan Stone, you know, Chad Allegra before he left, you know, Matt Park, those guys, they were on top doing everything, and they were the ones that training, pushing us. It's like now we kind of hit that gap of what's next, and now we have this new wave coming in, and we kind of have to be the guys to steer them in the right direction.
Very, very true. And I think I can say this with all confidence and honesty. The future is in really good hands right now. Because they've got gentlemen such as yourself, such as Roger Ruffin, at training week in, week out, giving these kids the tools, the skill set they need to advance in this craft, to hopefully one day be the next, you know, Carl Anderson, or be the next Monster Abyss. Because I've seen some pretty big guys come in to train recently, and if they can learn the right way to do things and acquire that skill set and put that same passion and dedication as their predecessors, I think any one of them has the opportunity, so long as they have the drive, the passion, and the willingness to put themselves out there to do it. And with people like you, yourself, I mean, it goes a long way towards them seeing, you know, what is achievable. Seeing, you know, okay, there's where I want to be. He's where I want to get to. Now help me. Now help show me the way to get there. And I think somebody such as yourself, I think you take the time to sit with these guys and instill that in them. And I must say, I am so, so looking forward to this future, because it is bright and it is going to be unbelievable. And I can honestly say, I'm glad to be back in the era of the Titan, because I have nothing but the utmost respect for you, for everything that you do when you go in there, what you do behind the scenes, what you do in front of the crowd. Because the one thing I will say, and I don't think people really always realize it, the amount of time and energy that yourself, Roger Ruffin, and Jay Donaldson, and even some of the other people that come in periodically just to help out, that you guys actually put in and really give up time with your families to, obviously you're bettering yourselves at the same time, but you're giving up that time also to help these kids learn. I see what we're doing in Elmwood. We're actually giving back to that community. We're actually honoring their students that are doing good, trying to set an example for them, rewarding good behavior. I guess is how I want to phrase that.
Yeah, definitely, I agree.
The work that the NWF does with the MS, for MS, I mean, things like that set us apart, and having somebody that can stand at the forefront of the company that we're so incredibly proud of, I think just makes it that much more worth it.
Yeah, not to mean that's the other side of the coin with being the champion is you are the face of the company. You know, you are kind of at the forefront of everything, and I've been lucky enough to, you know, get the trust to be that guy, you know, get the trust that Rogers put in me to, you know, help run trainings and things like that. And, you know, just how lead things when things are going on. Usually my name is up at the top. Even at the time I wasn't champion, I was still, you know, going and helping and meeting people and doing things. So, you know, now being champion and being kind of the public eye, you know, it's definitely a good feeling for me because, you know, I've been with the NWF for so long. And, I mean, you know, you said that we contribute our time and take time away from our families. But, I mean, to me personally, the NWF is my family. You know, that's my second home. I spend almost as much time at Bone Crushers as I do at home. You know, I spend as much time with Roger and, you know, guys like Jordan and Jay and Calypso. I spend almost as much time with them as I do my family just because, you know, trainings, road trips, you know, out promoting shows, stuff like that. So, like, it's become such an interwoven part of my life. And now I get to be, you know, once again, like I said, I'm kind of at the top of that. So that's kind of an awesome feeling.
One question I do want to ask you, because obviously there's going to come a day and time, as we've alluded to, where your body's not going to allow you to take those bumps. We all have what we call our bump card, and when it's done, it's done. Where do you see yourself maybe helping to be more as a, aside from being somebody that the students can look up to as far as a mentor goes, do you maybe see yourself becoming more of a hands-on, behind-the-scenes, kind of more creative, so to speak, at some point?
I mean, yeah, I don't – wrestling's always a thing I always planned, no matter what, for it to be in my life. So, I mean, if something happened tomorrow or I couldn't wrestle anymore, I would still be at Bone Crusher doing what I could to help, you know, in any way, shape, or form that can be. And, you know, I've been really honored and blessed to be around great minds in this business that I've learned a lot, that it is more than my body. I'm not just going out there and throwing my body on the line. Every time I'm out there, I'm learning something. You know, having, like, nights like Saturday and having Abyss in the locker room to be able to talk to and, you know, pick his brain here and there, you know, come through the curtain and have him say, hey, let's talk about this, this, and this, things like that. You know, Roger is, you know, in my mind, the best mind in the business. So getting to have him, you know, almost at arm's reach anytime there's a thought or a question, you know, that's really awesome. And, you know, there's so many people that I see and that I know just because of wrestling that I've just learned so much from that I do believe that when, you know, whenever my time comes that I can't get in the ring, that I can still have some influence, that I can still be there and, you know, maybe use the creative juices I've been brewing, because they're in there. So, I mean, any way, shape, or form, I will somehow always be a part of wrestling, and most undoubtedly I will always be a part of the NWF.
Well, I can say with complete honesty, as far as creativeness goes, I've seen some of the stuff that you've done in the ring. I saw, and I know it wasn't a great night for you, but I do have to admit, if we had an award for Entrance of the Year, I can honestly tell you I would have to give that to your entrance from FanFest. Because I'm going to tell you, I absolutely love that. I mean, that truly showed your evolution.
Yeah, that was kind of the whole idea.
I mean, living, breathing, walking, talking, I mean, that was just... That took some thought and planning, and I can honestly tell you, I don't think a lot of people would have, especially going into a match that had become that personal, put that kind of forethought into, I not only want to win my match, but I want to give these people an entire day, an entire, encompassing the whole thing, an entire event to remember. And I'm going to tell you, there's only a few things that stick out in my mind from that whole day, because that day was amazing. But that was one of them, because that is honestly the most creative entrance I think I've ever seen at any independent show. Ever. I mean, that's not something you see every day.
Yeah,
and obviously, it's not something people are going to do still.
With everything going on, it was really funny when I kind of got the opportunity to do something like that. You know, Roger was the one who said, you know, it's FanFest, you know, come up with something people are going to remember. And that was something to that effect was in my head, and a buddy of mine had this big grand idea, and I was like, well, let's take your big grand idea and mix it with this idea, because you know, video games are a very big part of my life. That's my escape. That's one of my stress relievers. When I can't be in the ring, you know, I got a controller in my hand, so being able to kind of throw a choose your character kind of thing out there, I thought that was such a cool idea. And having had a couple personas in my time in the NWF, I thought it was kind of cool to kind of do a nod just to remind everybody, you know, everyone sees Titan, you know, as this larger than life person I've become. And it's funny to me now, like looking back and having to remind everybody that, yeah, NG was still a thing. I used to wear 4XL T-shirts and baseball jerseys with my name on it, and just absolutely act ridiculous when I was 150 pounds. You know, when I first became Titan, I took myself way too seriously. So it's like the evolution and everything is kind of coming back around. And you know, it was also kind of a message to Russ. You know, kind of get inside his head. You know, he knew NG, but he does not know the person I've become.
I can honestly say I don't think he'll ever make that mistake again. But he definitely, and I know this is jumping ahead a little, but I think he definitely has his hands full when we return to Fairfield in December.
Actually, we were talking about that clock, and I think Angel for a while thought his clock had run out. And, you know, we all feel a certain way at some point or another. I mean, you know, there's days you'll wake up sick or you'll wake up with a crick in your neck and, man, how am I going to wrestle? And then as soon as you go through the curtain and you hear that crowd, it's just, it's that energy, it's that aura. Like, they just give it to you, you know. And I think Angel, at some point, you know, was feeling towards the end of his clock, you know, and he's been gone for a while and finding himself. And then as soon as he got in that ring, you know, he said it. He said, oh, I like this feeling. I'm starting to feel something. And I think, you know, he's known, you know, he knows that feeling. I think being gone, he kind of maybe forgot. And then getting back in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, just that rejuvenation. You know, so I think just that one moment for him, you know, just it dialed his clock back. And, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Russ is going to find out the hard way whose house it is.
Right? It was very well put. The NWF Army was who proclaimed It's Angel's House. And Nasty Russ is going to find that out, like you said, the hard way when we return there on December 30th. Let's talk about a couple other things that we heard that night, too. While I typically have no sympathy as far as something that's inanimate, such as the cage itself goes, I can't decide if I have more sympathy for Tough Justice, who have to be locked in that cage on December 30th with Roger, Ruffin, and Abyss, or if I feel actually more sorry for the cage, because you've been in that cage. It is brutal. It is unforgiving. And there's no good that ever comes from it.
Oh, every time you're in there, that it just does damage. I mean, it's absolutely unavoidable that, you know, when you have a couple feet of steel just surrounding you, there's no way you cannot get, you know, phased. You can't be fine walking out. There's going to be, again, that clock, there's going to be some notches knocked off of it.
Oh, most definitely. I have been blessed to never been in one. I don't ever want to be in one, because I see the damage it inflicts, and it is unforgiving, and that match will be brutal. What advice would you give somebody? Because I've heard a few different people's opinions. I've heard people say start when you're in high school. What advice would you give to anybody that wants to wrestle? Like, if a young fan were to come to you and tell you they want to do this, this is their dream, this is their passion.
I mean, you know, like I said, I've been around for a while, you know, almost 13 years now, and I've seen a lot of guys come to training, and that first day, they're so excited, like a kid on Christmas, you know, oh my God, this is all I've ever wanted to do, this is my dream, I'm so happy, and then you never see him again after day one. It's a thing where you have to make sure this is what you want to do. It has to be. I mean, there's a difference between wanting to be a wrestler, you know, dreaming of being a wrestler, and dreaming of loving wrestling or loving wrestling. You know, anyone can sit down in front of a TV, you know, and there's going to be a match or there's going to be a character, there's going to be something in wrestling they can relate to, they can love, they can like, whatever. Anyone can be a fan. But it takes a special breed to actually get in there and do it. I mean, the first couple times you hit the ropes, you find out that the ropes hit back. You know, you go home and it looks like you were whipped across your back, you know. I mean, the ring hits back. It's not a mattress. You know, it's a thing. And people find that out and they realize, this hurts a lot more. Maybe I think I'll have more fun sitting in the crowd. So you have to ask yourself that. You have to ask, you know, is it worth giving your body for? Because no one who gets into wrestling and wrestles for a long time doesn't give their body to it. It catches up with everybody. And you have to be willing to take the hit. You have to be willing to get up sore and go to the gym. You can get up sore and go do more training. Get up sore and go to the show. You have to be sick. You're going to miss birthdays. You're going to miss, you know, I know guys who've missed some of their kids' birthdays, missed first steps, stuff like that. It's not just like this fun softball league. It's not just, you know, Wednesday night with the boys throwing a ball around. It becomes a thing. And so my biggest thing to everyone is don't feel like just because you love wrestling you have to be a wrestler. You know, ask yourself, is this going to be my life? Can this be my life? Because otherwise, you know, you get into it and 6 months later, you know, you're not progressing as fast or your shoulder hasn't stopped hurting. And you know, I don't know if I can do it. And then there's 6 months of your life, it's gone. You know, there's now probably an everlasting shoulder injury. You know, there's all these things that stack up, and then you view things differently. It's like, at the end of the day, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been watching wrestling, you have to be able to decide, like, how bad do I really want this to be part of my life?
That is the one thing I can, I won't say it's the one thing I can agree with you on, but it's definitely some, a big part of this business. It becomes your life. It becomes who you are. It is an all-consuming, this is it. This is me. This is who I am. 24/7, 365. You're going to miss things that you wish wish you could be there for, but like you said, you have to be willing to say, I'm going to miss these things. I'm going to, and I hear it, and I laugh every time. The ones that think the ring is a trampoline. And I'll look at them, and I'll be like, please understand, that is wood and steel. That is no trampoline. And you're right, you do. You leave training, you leave shows, and you have got bruises and marks, and you're going to hurt in places you probably didn't even realize you had muscles in. And the injuries are forever. I mean, they're a part of you. And anybody who is willing to go out day in, day out, 365 days a year, and put their body on the line to entertain a crowd, my hats are off to them, because they truly are special on so many levels. I've seen families at shows, and I've watched mothers watch their sons, and it is just, when you see the families that support that dream and support that, those are the ones I really feel have, I won't say the best shot of surviving, but I think that goes a long way towards their survival in the business, knowing that they have not just the support of their wrestling family, but that their biological family or friend or their friends outside of the business are supporting that with them, because they understand he or she is not going to be at every get-together anymore, because they're out there making somebody else's life that much happier. Because I've never seen people so happy as, well, I watch fans at the shows all the time, and they have the time of their lives. And that's something you can't really buy that, I should say.
Right.
That's
exactly
something that you guys go out and do. You provide that for these people, and my hats are off to you all, off to everybody for that, everybody who's a part of it. From the guys working security, the ladies working the door and concessions, and especially to the individuals that go out there in the ring. Ace, do you have anything you would like to add?
You know, actually, I just want to offer my congratulations again to Titan for winning the title again.
Thank you, sir.
Titan, I want to wish you the best of luck. We will miss you this Saturday at Bone Crushers, but I definitely look forward to seeing you when we return to Covington, Kentucky at HITS on Saturday night, December the 9th. Congratulations.
Congratulations to you as well with your Hall of Fame induction.
Thank you very much. That was truly a surprise and honor. Remember, folks, we return to 6105 Vine Street in Elmwood Place this Saturday night. Doors open at 6, special 7 p.m. bell time. And then get your pre-sale tickets for Saturday, December the 9th, when we return to Covington, Kentucky at HITS. Check the website, check our Facebook, and we will see everybody at the show. Ace Diamond.
Miss Galley. We're about out of time, ladies and gentlemen, so I want to thank the brand new NWF champion, Titan, for being on the show once again. And I want to thank Miss Callie once again for conducting a wonderful interview. And we will return next week, right here, same time. And I will update everybody on what's going on then. I've got something big in the works, so we'll see what happens. Have a good night, everybody.